wouldn't have been 29 days in Shaaban, now it would be 38 days of Shaaban. So the hadith specifically discourages a person who didn't have a habit from before to fast on the 30th of Shaaban, merely because there is the possibility that it could have been the 1st of Ramadan. We didn't see, for example, we're staying in one town, we didn't see it was overcast, we didn't see the moon, so we decide, you know, what if the news comes tomorrow? We are not fasting, we are taking it to be the 30th of Shaaban. What if the news comes tomorrow from another town, from another village, we get a phone call or we get a message that it was sighted in another village, another town? What if that happens? Now we are not fasting. So out of the fear that it could be the 1st of Ramadan, we all start fasting on the 30th of Shaaban. This Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically discouraged. And we didn't see the moon. No news had come and we didn't see the moon. So we are, now it is the 30th of Shaaban. Don't incorporate the 30th of Shaaban as though 30th of Shaaban is now the 1st of Ramadan. If we're going to habitually do that we're going to start fasting on the 30th of Shaaban on the pretext that it might be the 1st of Ramadan, after a few years, it will actually become part of Ramadan. We will start making our Ramadan now 31. Or 30, where it was 29. Ramadan is clear, Shaaban is clear, don't mix the two up. This is what these ahadiths are teaching us, that don't deliberately now, you don't have a habit of fasting, you didn't have a history of fasting, suddenly out of precaution now you want to fast on the 30th of Shaaban, perhaps it might be Ramadan. Sharia doesn't encourage us. It was mentioned of one person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this person, very often he gets doubts in his salah with regards to his wuzu. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam clearly mentioned that malam tasma' rih, malam tajid rih, u tasma' sotan, that until you don't get any type of smell, malam tajid rihan, until you don't get any type of smell, or you don't hear any sound, then don't entertain any doubts in that namaz that your wuzu is broken. So easy it is made. Otherwise the person will continuously doubting, and like that when people doubt, then you'll find that instead of washing 3 times wuzu, they start washing 10 times. Instead of washing a few times in the toilet, they start washing extra. Instead of taking, for example, 5 minutes in the bathroom, now they start taking half an hour in the bathroom. So this is not something that's encouraged. It's actually waswasa from shaitan, continuously bringing doubts into a person. Continuously bringing doubts. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't like that we unnecessarily bring doubts. So therefore, even when it came to fasting on the 30th of Shaaban, don't unnecessarily bring doubts. It wasn't cited. Worst case scenario, if it was genuinely the 1st of Ramadan, then at the end after Eid, then what you do, you just keep that one qaza. But don't unnecessarily create doubts and fast because of a doubt that it may be the 1st of Ramadan. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, la yataqaddamanna ahadukum Ramadan bi sawmi yawmin aw yawmayn illa an yakuna rajulun kana yasumu sawmahu falyasum dhalika al-yawm, muttafaqun alayh. Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you should fast 1 or 2 days before Ramadan, except a person who normally fasts on such a day, he may fast on that day. Person who normally got the habit of fasting, now he's not deliberately fasting because it's the day of doubt, he's fasting because of that habit that he always had before. And I would always fast on a Monday and Thursday. It so happened that this Thursday or Monday had fallen at the last day of Shaaban, so then there's no problem. Or a person who fasts every alternate day, he's not deliberately fasting because there's any doubt on that last day. He's fasting, just continuing with his habit. So this is what this hadith is teaching us. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تصوموا قبل رمضان. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that do not fast before the month of Ramadan. Sumu liru'yatihi waftiru liru'yatihi. Fast when you see the moon and stop fasting when you see the moon. فَإِنْ حَالَتْ دُونَهُ غَيَتَتُتْ فَكْمِلُوا 30 yawman. And if the clouds conceal its sighting, this غَيَايَا فَإِنْ حَالَتْ دُونَهُ غَيَايَتُنْ فَكْمِلُوا 30 yawman. If the clouds now conceal the sighting of the moon, then complete 30 days. That's all as simple as that. Make your Shaaban 30 days. Or if it is the month of Ramadan, now make your Ramadan, make the month of Ramadan 30 days. That's all that you need to do. It is nothing very difficult and complicated as far as our Shariat is concerned. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا بَقِيَ نِصْفٌ مِّن شَعْبَانٍ فَلَا تَصُومُوا رَوَاهُ الترمذي. That Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when half of Shaaban is remaining, then don't fast. An explanation I gave earlier. For a person who's not in the habit of fasting, now he'll get a chance to جدد انرجي تو جدد سترينث. The month of Ramadan comes, then he'll be fasting with that full vigor, that full energy. Last hadith for this section. An Abil Yaqdan Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu qal, Man sama al-yum al-ladhi yushakku fihi qad asa abal qasim. Rawahu Abu Dawud. See what strong words Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is using for that person that unnecessarily is fasting on this 30th of Sha'ban, creating unnecessary doubts and unnecessary precaution. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Man sama al-yum al-ladhi yushakku fihi, that person that fasts on the date, on the day where they shak, in other words, who fasts on the last day of Sha'ban, the person that fasts on the day of shak, فَقَدْ عَصَىٰ أَبَ الْقَاسِمِ, he has disobeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu al-Qasim was the kunya and the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his son Qasim that had passed away in infancy. So Nabi alayhi salam was known as Abu al-Qasim. So فَقَدْ عَصَىٰ أَبَ الْقَاسِمِ, that person who thought to himself that he's doing a good thing by fasting extra and doing extra precaution, that person has actually disobeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by fasting on this day. What beautiful hadith, what beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our deen is clear, clear cut. We don't add anything, we don't subtract anything, we don't confuse anything. We leave everything as clear as possible without creating any type of doubt. Therefore, sometimes we find that ulama encourage that don't unnecessarily create extra things in deen, because after a period of time, by creating and adding extra things to deen, people will start assuming that this is part of deen. Often you'll find some people not realizing, they see sometimes, maybe for example, I'm just giving an example, that the 27th of Rajab, everyone is congregating in a masjid, this program is taking place in a masjid. Now they think that this Mi'raj is a big night. Everyone will start talking and saying that it's a big night. Why? Because continuously people have been congregating and speaking and giving lectures in the masjid, that the average man now feels that this is also a big night, whereas it's not a big night. A significant night and big night, special ibadah, people will phone and ask, what dua must we read on this night? What part of the night should we do extra ibadah, as though it is something extra? So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, deen is clear cut. Don't add, even fasting on that day, now you're adding something to deen. You have disobeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching us that it is crystal clear, cut, how do you say, it is cut, clear and dry. There's nothing more to add to it, nothing more to subtract from it, as it is presented to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should wholeheartedly accept it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.